I believe. What a powerful statement. For thousands of years, men have staked their very lives on this belief, that Jesus Christ is real. Why? Because it was this belief that gave their life meaning. Today, it's the same. Jesus Christ does make a difference. He is the source of a meaningful and purposeful life. Where there is distance, He makes music.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for reminding us that God gave the song and the music, which starts at that band of the cross, just reaches into our homes, and in our homes we can radiate Jesus. The homes are important. Today in many churches across the land, we're beginning the emphasis upon the Christian home this week. We begin with Mother's Day today. It's a very special time for all of you ladies, and whether you are a wife or a sweetheart or a mother, I think that would include everybody. And even if you're too young and you say, I'm not a sweetheart of anybody, Jesus loves you. And so for all of you ladies, today's a special day and we pay tribute to you. But the men are important too. The young people are important too in making the house the home. And you will find before you in your bulletin the outline for the message this morning. So you can take home and study and read some scripture yourself about how you can repair your home. This is the time of the year when a lot of people do a lot of house repairing. And the house can outwardly be beautiful, but the home, which is inside, it cannot be so beautiful. And I'm thinking of one particular home. I'm not judging, I'm going only by the observation of fruits. The outward appearance is a beautiful, beautiful home, a house. It's a house that's really beautiful. But on the inside, well, the words of Jesus are adequate. Outside, it's a white wall, but on the inside, it's full of dead men's bones. A real estate man once drove me through Beverly Hills showing me some homes. This is in Detroit. And he pointed out a couple of the houses, and he said, you know, I know for a fact that these are beautiful houses. Well, I knew for a fact, too, they were very beautiful houses. But he said, you know, the people who are living on the inside of the houses don't have much of a home. He said, you take this particular home, and he pointed to one. He said, the people have overextended themselves, and they have this house, and they had to have a gardener come in to landscape it and to keep it up, and the yard was immaculate. In fact, it looked like the green on the golf course. Just beautiful. But the house was there, but there was no home. He said, in fact, they're even living off of boxes. They're sitting and eating off of boxes. They have no money for anything else. And furthermore, the spiritual tenor of the home was not too good. The song of Jesus had not penetrated the walls because the wall was so beautiful, worldly, that Jesus couldn't even penetrate. It's nice to have nice houses, and we should work to that end. But more importantly is to have a nice home. And there's a difference between a house and a home. And this blue mimeograph sheet tells you in your home repairing job, which I hope you will work on this week, some of the things that the Bible tells you can be material for your home repairing. Now, our goal in our home repairing is to have a man's house, like somebody has said, on the hilltop of cheerfulness and serenity. So high that no shadows rest upon it, and where the morning comes so early and the evening tarries so late that the day has twice as many golden hours as those of other men. He is to be pitied whose house is in some valley of grief between the hills with the longest nights and the shortest days. Home should be the center of joy. It should be like the tropical zone where the days are much, much lengthy. Now, with that description of a home, how would yours rate? Don't answer, but how does yours rate? Now, there are some things that you can do in this home repairing kit, the manual, the guidebook, which God has given to make your house a home and to make your home the kind of a home that honors Jesus, the kind of a home where, as we have a plaque in our kitchen that says, this house is where each lived for the other and each lived for Jesus. The kind of a house that has a home residing in it, which has some kind of a prayer like this, Lord, bless our home, Father, that we cherish the bread before there is none, discover each other before we leave, and enjoy each other for what we are while we have time. Children grow up very rapidly, and it's not long before they have flown the coop, as the expression goes. and time stands still for no person. So if we start today in making our home a better home, it's even too late. We should have started yesterday and the day before that. But we have to have a beginning, and so why not on this Mother's Day take advantage of some of the illustrations I'd like to share with you and some of the scripture which you can read for yourself when you get home in trying to make your home that kind of a home that would help you and at the same time help God. Now in the home repair kit, I have suggested two categories, the must-haves in your home and the may-haves. There are some things that the Bible says you must have, and there are some things that the Bible says you may have. Unfortunately, most people have a lot of the may-haves, and they have very few of the must-haves. So it's time to begin at the beginning and try to find your place in a home that is properly organized and straightened and blessed by God. Now, the Christian home should be heaven, begun on earth. And it will be that place of heaven begun on earth if it is a place of warm and loving hearts. Somebody said a few years ago in a series of sermons about the husband-wife-children relationship that they don't go home to heaven at all. In fact, there was another word that they used. Their home is not like heaven at all. How can my home be like heaven when this happens and that happened? And I just listened with my folded arms that gosh, that was a pretty depressing place to go. Well, I explained it need not be that way if you let Jesus come in and make the change. Now, Jesus is not this magical somebody that comes in and just clean sweeps your home and makes it into that lovely home show place without you asking and without you inviting and without you doing something yourself. Now, some of the things you must do in your home is this. You've got to have your home, according to the Word of God, governed properly. There are some things that husbands and wives and children must do if you want your home to really be this place where it's filled full of warmth and love. Now, nobody but nobody has attained this to any perfect degree, but many people among a lot of people are attempting, with great success, to have the home governed properly. Where there's no government, there's chaos. If we had no stop signs, people would be going and coming and also colliding. If we had no guidepost in our society, well, you can picture in your mind what kind of a society we would live in. We don't want to live with free reigns. We want control. A young person came to me not long ago and said, I wish that my father would discipline me. Another person shared with me once on the street, I just wish there were rules set down. So when there are no rules, we just flounder around and we go as many different directions as fingers on our hands. Now, what is the government in our home supposed to be like? First of all, according to the Word of God, regarding the husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto his wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, this may not be the reason why some of your prayers are not being answered necessarily, but the scripture does say in 1 Peter 3:7 that if the husband would give honor to the wife, even if the wife does everything wrong, give honor to the wife and recognize that you are joint heirs together in this grace of life, then Peter says your prayers will not be hindered. Husbands, love your wives. In every marriage ceremony, I turn to the husband and I say at the very end, husband, and I look him straight in the eye. If he's not looking at me, I wait until he looks at me. Love your wife. Well, husbands don't always love their wives as they should, and as a result of this, we have the problems that we have, and it's not always the husband's fault. It's not always the wife's fault. Most of the time, it's both of the faults that in the bad result of one out of every two marriages in the state of California ending in divorce or separation last year. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That is a big bill to fill, husband. Jesus loved the church so much, he died for it. Husband, not for you to answer, but would you give your life right now for your wife? My life? I've got so much to do. I've got a fishing trip planned. I've got the business deal coming up. Give my life for my wife? Jesus did. And Jesus said, husbands, love your wives as I have loved the church. You know, some people take the church very flippantly, but the church is something that Jesus gave his life for. And the institutional church of which we are a part is very important because it's part of that great body of believers. Husbands, love your wives. And wives, even on your day, be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. And again, let not the wife depart from her husband. And again, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, these are not made-up rules for the Carlson family. It's a made-up rule for your family according to the Word of God. And if you want your home different, oh, you may be happy and satisfied with it, but probably not really. But if you want your home different, you've got to do what God says, wives. And it is these scriptures, Titus 2, 1 Corinthians 7, and Ephesians 3. And if the wife submits herself unto the husband as unto the Lord, God's going to bless you, dear wives. Your family's going to be blessed because God said that's the way it's got to be. And children, obey your parents. Children, you are to obey your parents not because they're older or because they discipline you, but because Jesus said it's the thing to do. And you know, I want to do everything that Jesus wants me to do, and sometimes it's difficult. But children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father, honor your mother, just not on one day, but every day, which is the first commandment with a promise. With a promise. That your days may be long upon this earth. And it may be well with you. Now this is the government factor in our homes. This is a must-have in repairing your home. The second thing is love. You have got to exemplify love. I mean the kind of a love that's inspiring in the household, which thinks and works, rejoices and sorrows together. And where the personalities are all melted down by divine grace, uniting them all in love. You know, we think we know what love is, but really, the great love is God's love in sending Jesus to the world. And then it's this kind of a love that comes into the home, into the Christian home. And it's the kind of a love that changes the whole thing, where family members love one another, respect one another, where everybody tries to do something for the other. It's indeed a hard thing for some to do. Where there is no big I, but it's a very large we. Love together. One little boy was collecting his pennies from his allowance, and he was collecting bottles to sell, and he was doing all kinds of things like this, and the parents thought he was really going to buy something good for himself, and it turned out he wanted to buy a tricycle for his little baby sister. This is a kind of a childlike love. Just love. And if you want your home, the different kind of a home, then one of the must-haves is love. And another thing is prayer. You've got to have prayer in your home. There are homes in our community which are Christian homes, but there is no family altar. There's no place where there's prayer. And there was one college student when asked, what do you miss most of all away from home? And he said, the thing that I miss most of all is at the morning hour when we sat down for breakfast, everybody in the family would hold hands and my father would pray for me and for us all as we left. That's what I miss more than anything else about my home, to hear my father pray. Men, if you've never prayed so that your family members can hear you, let me suggest that this week you do it. If you've never done it, it's going to be probably the hardest thing in the world to do, but have them close their eyes, and then just talk to Jesus. And prayer is just talking like you talk to a business associate. As you talk to your wife, as you talk to your children, as you talk to the neighbor, just talk to God. And the remarkable thing is God's going to listen to you. And furthermore, he'll probably even answer your prayers and bless you according to his will. This is a must-have. It's prayer. And the fourth must-have, which you've got to have, is parental duties. I've listed only four. Nurture, train, teach, and provide for. These are the must-haves in the Christian home repair kit. You've got to nurture the family. This is husband and wife together. You've got to train your children. You've got to teach your children. And you know, one judge said, 80% of the people who come before me in the courtroom, who I have to sentence, 80% of them are the ones from a home where there was no Christian training at all. This goes back to the home. It reflects the home. We are to teach, and we're not to be discouraged if nothing great happens in our home when we are faithful to God to teach. Poor old Noah preached 120 years, and the only converts he had were his wife and family, which is a good record. So, men, we have an obligation. You Christian men are the priests of your family. And the Bible tells very clearly that the family, you are responsible for that family, and you need to pray for that family. You need to train, nurture, and teach, and provide for. But instead, the place where the reality of a man's religion is tested is in his own home, and sometimes fails that test. These are the must-haves: the government, the love, the prayer, and the parental duties. And if you do not follow through with these four things, then you may have a beautiful house, you may have a fairly good home, but you could have a better home. Now, the things that do come into our home, which you may have, are cares and troubles, and there are some foes that will invade your home, and there is some strife that may come in. And when we approach these different categories one by one with the help of Jesus, God's going to bless you. Now, you've got the cares. Sometimes the kids are sick, sometimes the parents are sick. The Bible speaks of those things. The Bible speaks of receiving guests. This can be a care, or being hospitable, or providing for the family. These are issues that the Bible speaks about. The Bible speaks about trouble that may come into your home. And probably some of you are saying, oh, if you only knew. If you only knew the trouble that was in my home. Well, it has to be incorporated into these things that we mentioned. In fact, I can think of nothing that's not in the category of these four things. Now, the trouble. The Bible speaks about hatred. The Bible speaks about childlessness. About unworthy husbands. Some of you wives are saying, how do you cope with an unworthy husband like I've got? Well, the answer is found in Jesus and patience and another sermon. Contentious wives, your husbands are saying, what about my wife? She's like a dripping faucet. That's what Proverbs says. A contentious wife is like the sound of a dripping faucet. Drip, drip, drip. So the Bible speaks very harshly, I would think, about the husband and about the wife, which says neither one are perfect, but all both need each other. And these are some troubles that come into the home. Invade the home. Unworthy husbands, contentious wives, and envy comes in the home too, where there are people in the home which are striving for preeminence. There are some foes which invade the home. Adultery, fornication, divorce, lawlessness, unrestricted rule, and selfishness. These are foes that from time to time enter in one home or another. They're foes. Should be guarded against. The door should be closed to these things. One of the great dangers is that we do not recognize these foes when they come. And instead of stopping them, we promote them or we condone them, and then we have the great statistics that we have now. You know, statistics show that over half the people who suffer an injury last year suffered the injury in a home. I thought the home was supposed to be a safe place. But children and parents suffer falls in the home, and they are injured in the home. And yet the home is supposed to be the safe place. Why do statistics show that there's so many dangerous things happening to people in the home? Simply because in the home, the person is off guard. The person is at home relaxed. The person doesn't have the defenses up. The person is not on the lookout for different things. And as a result of this, it's not the safe place. It's a very dangerous place. We're not watching for the stumbling blocks that come our way. And this is true of spiritual disasters. Our homes are the most frequent witnesses of bad temper, of selfishness, of cruelty, of neglect, of jealousy, of poor faith, of slander, and falsehood. These are the terrible hazards of the home. Bad temper, selfishness, cruelty, neglect, jealousy, poor faith, slander, falsehood. You know, these are the foes which slip into our home when we least expect them. These are the little sins that so doth easily beset us and trip us and make us fall. Well, another mayhap is the strife. And the causes, according to the Bible, of strife are pride, anger, and contentious spirit. Strife is forbidden in the Bible. And yet many homes that dot our countryside today are just harboring strife and harboring hatred. And the home is one place and the world is another place. And people live two different lives. You know, the masks put on in public and in home it's taken off. One pastor went to visit a home, and in the course of the conversation, he said, "I just want to commend you for having this daughter that is just so wonderful in our church. And she's always present doing this and that, and we think so much of her. We just thank you for having her because she means so much to the church." And the mother said, "Who are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, you know, calling the name of the girl." You know what she said? She said, "Well, that may be the same girl, but she's not that way around here. You see, at home, where we should be the best, we are the worst. After all, they're only family members, you know."